Good morning. I'm Mike Duff, a contributing editor for the IHA-affiliated homepage news and host of the Inspiration Theater. Today, the opening session is Bridging Channels, Building Loyalty, the Omnichannel Blueprint for Home Goods. Kate Stevens and Gina Lombardo of Quip will lead us in considering the omnichannel experience across retail. Excuse me, including stores such as Target, Walmart, and CVS, but also rising sectors such as direct-to-consumer, and how to keep customers engaged and satisfied wherever they may want to shop. So, if you please.
Amazing. Hi, everyone. It's so good to be here today. As Mike mentioned, we're going to be talking about bridging channels, building loyalty, you know, but broadly, what is omnichannel for home goods? You know, what does this look like for your brands, for your customers, and you know, how do you meet your customers wherever they want to shop? In terms of, you know, today's agenda, we're going to start by introducing ourselves, you know, why do Gina and I have some credibility to speak on this topic, and then we will go through a little bit about the problem that we think about solving, you know, around omnichannel. Next, we'll talk about what is Quip, you know, how did we work with Quip, how does Quip think about omnichannel for their business, and then finally, we'll talk about, you know, what are some key takeaways for you in the home goods industry as it relates to how you can effectively execute on an omnichannel strategy. So just to, you know, start out, I'm Kate Stevens. I'm the CEO and co-founder of a company called Bridge. We're a venture-backed software business that helps brands bridge the offline and the online. I am a retail, rethink retail expert. I have over 20,000 followers on LinkedIn. Feel free to, you know, connect with me there. But I post every single day about what is the future of retail, what is omnichannel, and how do you meet your customer wherever they want to shop. I also host a podcast called The Omnichannel Marketer, where I interview brands, retailers, and vendors around how they are thinking about omnichannel across kind of the value chain. And then I've been in the space for over, you know, almost two decades now, and went to Harvard Business School and studied business at Georgetown undergrad. And now Gina.
Hi, everybody. My name is Gina. I'm the direct-to-consumer lead at Quip. I've been in the direct-to-consumer game for about 15 years. So my professional career led me down a path to launching about 12 different brands on direct-to-consumer, mostly in the beauty space, skincare, hair care, and very much a founder-led space. However, prior to that, I was a home buyer. So crazy journey that led me from home to beauty, but here we are. I definitely started my career in more of an omnichannel space, working for Macy's Home Store, working for Spiegel Catalog and the like, and thinking about, you know, how product can relate to the consumer. And my education's from FIT's Home Products Development and Marketing. So I've been on both sides of this table.
Okay, so thinking about the problem that we'd like to talk about, that we experience brands having. When you sell through e-com, and you know, Gina knows this very well, you know, with her experience in direct-to-consumer, you have access to your end customer data. And there's really incredible platforms that allow you to action off of that data. You know, Klaviyo, Attentive, Meta. A third of a D2C brand's revenue is often driven by Klaviyo or their email marketing platform. So when you enter retail, the end customer data, so first-party data, so i.e. the email of your customer is lost. This is a lost opportunity to be able to, you know, reconnect with that customer and then retarget them wherever they want to shop. And the goal of, you know, how we think about omnichannel is that a brand with more data is better for the consumer, better for the brand, and better for the retailer. And so you're thinking about the opportunity when you can own that customer's data wherever they're going to shop. 73% of consumers will use multiple shopping channels in their journey. And so the more you can have that direct personalized relationship with them, the better opportunity that you will have to meet that customer wherever they shop. And here's an example consumer journey. And you could probably relate to this yourselves as a consumer. Maybe you're doing some research online, you then go into the store, you're doing more discovery and research there offline. Maybe you'll go back online to compare different products, do your research, come back to the store to compare. And ultimately, maybe you transact online, maybe you transact offline. This is a very typical consumer journey that happens across multiple touch points. And so the opportunity here is really to think about loyalty across those different touch points. And so where can you be frictionlessly collecting your customers' data? So, what value transfer can you deliver to your consumer in order to collect their data so that you can educate them across the journey? How can you tailor the content that you're providing? So, the content that Gina is using on Quip's website is often focused on the pre-purchase customer journey. You're educating them around, that purchase. How can you think about content differently post-purchase in a way that's really tailored to the fact that your customer just purchased your product? So maybe they need, setup videos. Different content is needed post-purchase than is needed pre-purchase. And then finally, loyalty and retention. How can you think about making it very frictionless to grow that customer's love and make them a repeat purchase behavior?
Yeah, Quip is a 10-year-old startup. So just touch a little bit about who Quip is to frame the conversation. We were an oral care solutions company. Our mission from a brand perspective is to turn that daily has to brush your teeth into something you want to do and something that's actually fun and enjoyable to do. We launched in 2015 with a very incredibly custom website. We conceptualized the website. We thought about what we wanted our customer journey to be and built it from scratch. That doesn't happen. That's something that was more typical 10 years ago. There are plenty of solutions right now that make this a little bit more out of the box. And easier to do. But we launched with a bespoke program in 2015, and that really set us up for success in conversations with our retailers, the retailers that we wanted, whose shelves we wanted to be on. We launched in Target in 2018, an incredibly successful launch that sprung us the ability to talk to Walmart, and in 2022, we launched in Amazon. Quip also has a B2B program. We speak directly to dental professionals, so we have an incredibly large network of dentists and hygienists that use the product and continuously give us feedback with their consumers, their patients are saying about the product. So we're incredibly up to date on different trends in the oral care business and how our end consumer uses our product.
Okay, so Quip is D2C first, you started D2C, but now you're in Walmart, Target, Amazon, and you have a B2B channel.
Correct.
Okay. So truly an omni-channel brand here.
Yeah. And, we also have brushes at every price point. Our original is an opening price point of about $25 to $30, which is a hybrid technology. We have an oscillating brush and we have an ultrasonic brush at our highest price point of $99. So similar to meeting our customer wherever they may fit, price point and offering is part of that journey.
Okay, so Gina and I met each other about 6 months ago now, and Quip is already thinking about post-purchase omni-channel, but there was just a couple of challenges in what they were experiencing. So, Gina, I will let you kind of describe what you had before, and then also some of the challenges that you were experiencing.
Yeah, one of the challenge that we had was because we had that custom website, we were able to bridge the gap between our on-shelf experience and our offline experience for our customer. But when we replatformed our website to Shopify, we actually lost some things in the fire. We have this beautiful unboxing experience. This is what a customer might see when they purchase their brush from Target or Walmart. There's a reward gift card. You scan the QR code, and you are immediately prompted with a claim for $15 off of your next purchase. We definitely saw a lot of room for improvement and education for the consumer as to why do you need to scan this? Why do you need a discount of something that you just purchased and haven't tried yet? So,
okay. So Jeannie and I met one another, and you know, as she alluded to, when we replatformed to Shopify, it actually broke some of the existing custom solution that they had built. Searched across a couple of different vendors who also didn't work out in this process. So we did this brand audit for them, where we looked. Jeannie actually sent me their Quip toothbrush. We looked at their post purchase experience, both on the physical and the digital side. And what I want to point out, and Jeannie alluded to this, like, best in class on the physical side. So they have this takeout card that says $15 reward gift card. So when you think about the post-purchase customer journey, the more you can, force the consumer in their unboxing to go through this journey that is, both beautiful, but also that, this is what you need to do post-purchase, and Quip does an incredible job. So that little card comes out, so it has the physical takeaway, and then there is a serialized QR code. So it is a unique QR code that has a custom discount code. And the reason that Quip wanted to do this was they're providing a $15 reward card. So the last thing you want is that going viral on, the Reddits of the world and people getting $15 off Quip without having purchased. So that unique serialized code is super important. And you don't need to create the serialized code to have a unique code, but having a unique code is critical from a just protecting when you're providing such an important value transfer. So what Quip is doing really well right here is the physical piece, but then second, delivering value transfer to the consumer. So something that we think about all the time with our customers is, what does your consumer care about that they're willing to, and consumers will give their data voluntarily, but they know that that is worth something to you. And so you need to give them something that they care about. What wasn't working, so A+ on packaging, card, and CTA. What wasn't working is they were like, here's a discount code to purchase a refill. When you're thinking about it, like from the consumer journey, you just bought your toothbrush, you haven't even used it yet. Why am I buying a refill right then? So thinking about where in the consumer journey you want to hit them, I'm not ready. I will if it's such a good discount. Okay, let me go get a discount on my next purchase when I just purchased this product. So that was something we saw in the gap in the consumer experience. It was clunky. You scan the code. There's no discount automatically applied. And this was part of it just being broken from them replatforming. And so there was a lot of confusion on the consumer digital end. And the other piece was the offer didn't quite match the timing of the consumer journey. So this is physical is great. The digital side, there's a lot of opportunity for improvement. We actually proposed to Quip a crawl, walk, run scenario, which is what we typically, do with our customers. And it's here's what we can do tomorrow. They had millions of codes out in the wild at different retail stores. So it was not feasible for us to be reprint all of your packaging, change the call to action. But here's what we can do for you tomorrow. You're actually live with them in 3 weeks during Black Friday, Cyber Monday, so that, across millions of codes. And what we were able to do first was here's the update to the consumer experience, and I'll show you this here in a second. We can redirect your existing codes to a bridge experience, a mobile first landing page that we built, very much Quip branded. We had, one-to-one code validation. So the other, challenge that you need to think through is they have this physical code printed on these cards. How do we maintain that efficacy, but then also, to avoid discount abuse? What we did and recommended was, again, thinking about the consumer journey, the customer might not be ready to shop and use that discount code yet, though they might be, interested in it. And so what we recommended is let's collect email. So we said, register your warranty for this discount. And so what that allowed Quip to do was collect that email immediately in that post-purchase journey. It makes the, effort from the consumer much less. And thus then GMO has those emails in her CRM to one, you know, deliver that discount code to the customer. So even if they're not ready to shop for the refill right then, it's in their email to, you know, do so when they're ready. But Gina can now educate the customer on how to use the brush through email. And so bringing them into the flow. So we, you know, we thought about it as top of funnel, make it as easy as possible to get that consumer data so that you can, you know, bring them into that. And then, you know, finally, the ability to, you know, segment the discounts based off of the type of product. So there's three different initial pieces that we launched with Bridgeon, that we launched Quip and Bridgeon. And so this is what it looked like. This is kind of that Bridge-powered landing page for Quip. And so you focused on collecting that email top of funnel. So that's like the register with email. And as part of that flow, we're still giving that unique discount code to the consumer, but we're collecting their email top of funnel. And so we educated with pictures in that consumer flow. Okay, here's what you're going to find on that card, your unique discount code to enter in. And we're, you know, on the back end actually validating that that is a unique code. And once we collect the email, that page that we drop the consumer on after is a direct shopping page. So now that consumer, so now Quip has that consumer's email, and that consumer can go directly to a shopping page where that unique discount code will be automatically applied, which is a way better consumer focus. Before, they basically dropped on Quip's website, but then there was no education on how to apply that discount code, and so the conversion rate was really, really abysmal. Finally, this is part of this bridge experience. So we call it our web app. So it looks and feels like an app, but it's totally web-based. It allows you to add different content blocks. We call them modules. And so this is where we started, that Gina and I were actually just talking about what's the next step with Quip. They're going to be adding some education blocks. So you can, you know, include videos, setup guides. You know, what is the content that you want to share with your customer post-purchase? We also think about it, like, what's the number one thing you want your consumer to do, which is, okay, we want to collect your data so that we can, you know, remarket to you and have this relationship. But then second, here's all the content that, you know, you often would be going to our CS team for anyway, that we can, you know, tailor to you in this post-purchase journey. You know, on the back end, we make it really easy to manage, add these, you know, experience content blocks. So from a, launching of experience and customizing, we have brands that will do hundreds, if not thousands, of these unique landing pages. And, you know, we do so in a programmatic way. So it's really easy for you as a team to manage. You know, the marketing or the CS team, you know, can manage this without ever needing to touch the engineering team. When the data is collected, it's stored in our platform. So you're able to see, you know, what customer purchased, what product, or what customer provided their email, what product they had, what retailer they purchased it at. And this allows you to start to really personalize your communication with those customers at scale. So, you know, how do you really talk differently to your Walmart customers than you do to your Amazon customers? Because, you know, if it's a Walmart shopper, we feel really strongly about this in at Bridge, and you know, it's something that the Quip team believes in this ethos as well. It's not about bringing a customer from retail or from Amazon to D2C. It's about having your customers' information so that you can empower them to shop wherever is convenient to them. So if you know that your customer purchased the Quip toothbrush at Walmart, and then you can, you know, provide different email flows to get them to, you know, purchase their replacement head at Walmart, like, that is a win for Walmart, and that is a win for the Quip team. And now you have that data to be able to enable that for your customers. And so, you know, what we were able to help enable for Quip is a couple of different things. One, targeted upsell offers. And so you can, you know, incentivizing the customer to, you know, buy that replacement head. If they didn't buy immediately, the customers entered into Quip's post-purchase email flow so that they can make that purchase when it's convenient to them. So, you know, often I think that brands over-index to discounts when it's really, think about what the customer cares about in that immediate post-purchase flow, which they're not often yet ready to buy. We'll actually find that content ends up being a really powerful value transfer to consumers, because like that's what they're trying to figure out, how to use their toothbrush or your coffee machine, whatever it is at that point in time. And then the last is, you know, how do you think about collecting the customer's data as a way, as an entry point into building a more loyal relationship with the customer. And this is the opportunity to, you know, have that customer enter Quip's reward program, or just, you know, build that relationship. I'll let Gina speak to some of the metrics.
Now, we did see impact right away. Prior to this experience, what we had on the site was so broken that we were really pleased to see the results that Bridge was able to provide for us. We're estimating that the experience is worth about $2.8 million in annual revenue. So that alone is a huge win. We were collecting about 3,500 emails per month, which will even exceed that 2.8 revenue, because we'll be able to add lifetime value through the journey with our consumers. And 4,500 people per month are actually registering their device. So again, further allowing us to continue a conversation with our consumers, be it a purchase or not, on their first scan, we're able to continue the conversation and help our consumers enjoy the device for the, you know, for the length of its life.
Okay, so how can you think about this in the future of home goods commerce? So the first recommendation that I would share here is to make it easy for customers to engage post-purchase. Mm-hmm. And so think about that customer's journey. You know, talk to your CX team. What are the things that the customer needs to know to use your product correctly? If it's a setup video, if it is content, you know, if it's something recipe content that will help them use the device more, think about that consumer journey and how you can make that part of the call to action in that, post-purchase customer experience. Think about data transfer and value transfer. So, serialization is a very powerful tool. If you're just starting on this journey, you do not need to serialize products or have serialized codes. However, there's a ton of opportunities, and I can talk through the opportunities specifically with serialization. Have some sort of, most brands in the home goods industry, there's an opportunity to be, to allow a customer to register a warranty. What we typically see works best from a conversion perspective is register and some content component, because you're going to get the people who care about registering a warranty, and then you're going to get the people who care about the content that you're providing. But the more you can make it funnel it through one post-purchase journey, the better outcome from a conversion perspective and a customer experience you're going to get. Some additional incremental benefits of serialization. So unique discount code. And so there is an opportunity there to avoid, especially if you want to provide a significant discount, that discount code going to anyone that wasn't an existing purchaser. The other piece of serialization is, comes on both the QA side and the gray market side. So what serialization allows you to do is provide a unique identity to the product, which you can then tie to a consumer. So you can embed things in that serial code around, what lot or batch was that made in, to help on the QA side, but then also what retailer was that product initially sold to. And so when you think about unauthorized resellers around gray market, what serialization can enable, and especially also touching the consumer, is you can have a validation of, this was a batch that we sold to Target. Why is this ending up at Home Goods? And so you can, provide and then hold accountable, partners who potentially unauthorized resell, not the Target, whatever, resell inappropriately. And then there's the opportunity to, personalize and drive upsell and content. So, when you think about the crawl, walk, run that we launched with Quip, the first was, we have millions of codes out to market. How can we, redirect these codes to fix the digital piece so that we're not missing out on all this data right now. And so that was our crawl. When you think about the walk, they're redoing their physical cards to adjust the offer to better fit kind of some of our recommendations on the digital side. And the run is they're going to be building experiences per individual SKU. And so the vision here is if someone buys a pink Quip toothbrush, we can be providing cross-sell recommendations that are tailored to that exact SKU of product that the consumer provided. There's also the opportunity to embed more tailored content. And so the broader vision of what we've built at Bridge is to allow hyper-personalization at scale across all channels. And so how can you deliver content and messaging to customers in a way that fits the retailer or the channel that they purchased in, as well as the exact product that they've purchased in? AI is enabling us to do this at a faster speed than we've ever been able to do before. And that's a whole topic in of itself, which I'm happy to speak on. But that's part of the opportunity that you guys have, as omni-channel retailers, is to really, meet your customer wherever they want to shop. But by owning their data, you're going to give them a more personalized experience, and you're going to, importantly, drive more revenue across all channels. All right, so what's next for Quip?
Well, we just launched our top-of-the-line ultra sonic toothbrush. It comes in 5 home-friendly colors and built in seamless silicone. And if you've used an ultra toothbrush, you may know that electric toothbrushes largely have a lot of seams. That means that when you're brushing, the gunk gets in there. It's hard to clean. It doesn't look as beautiful as it does the out of the box. Our Ultra is designed with that in mind, but it also has 15 times more plaque removal than manual brushing and up to 10 personalized power modules. So you can really tailor the brush to your comfort and your specifications. That means it's really a really great option for somebody who might have braces or wears a denture or a retainer or anything else that might make an electric toothbrush not feasible. So check it out. We're at Target, getquip.com. Really, anywhere you shop, you should be able to find the Quip Ultra.
Amazing. Oh, and how are you thinking about Bridge entering into the partnership with this new product launch?
No, this is great. So you can see that this brush head is unique. It's just a little pod that clicks on and clicks off. And our static images, I think, do a really good job of showing what that is. But there's a lot more content that we can provide to really guide customers through that journey. The other thing is that one of the benchmarks that Quip was built on is that Americans in general do not change their brush or their brush head as often as we should. Dentists recommend 4 times a year, so that's once every 3 months, but largely the consumer will change their brush about once every 1.3 months. So there's an opportunity for Quip to educate our consumers, like, hey, it's time, or hey, did you just have the flu? Change that brush head, it's gross. Mm-hmm. So there's just a lot of touch points throughout the journey that we're looking to unlock with the Bridge experience, so that our consumers are still invested in the brush that they purchased and using it the most efficiency.
Okay, yeah. Amazing. Okay, so we have about 20 minutes left here. We'd love to open it up for anyone's questions, or I'm happy to just chat through a couple of key questions at Q&A with Gina. So I will start there if anyone has any questions.
Does anyone have any questions?
So let me make sure I understand this correctly. So you guys are, your website is D2C, but you are also selling on Amazon and other retailers. So do you have any problems using that code on their site, or is that something they have to buy into as well as you sell to those people?
No, the code is only eligible on getquip.com. And for the most part, the retailers have been, very much a partner in this journey.
Okay. So they don't mind, or they just aren't really aware of the experience?
No, I believe they're definitely aware of the experience. They're definitely aware of the experience. Our website was built to really foster that subscription relationship. So the majority of those retailers don't have that same subscription and loyalty program that we have.
Same.
Any other questions?
I'll just build on that. I think that this is something that is an objection that we hear a lot. And I think that, like, really important in, you know, the partnerships that we have with brands and retailers is that this is a win-win opportunity. So you as a brand, knowing more about your customer, being able to provide a more personalized experience for your customer is better for the consumer, better for the brand, and better for the retailer. I think that there is often this, you know, apprehension or anxiety that this is, you know, one stealing from the other. And the more, and that is not the way that we see the world. I think that that is a historical way to view. What we can enable here is if you know your customer shopped you at Walmart or at Target or at Amazon, yes, you might be getting that first free refill from Quip.com, but you can educate that customer. You can, you know, email that customer to go purchase the, you know, next product or other retails at Walmart. And so you can personalize that, that communication. The other piece is, you know, Quip is driving a refill using a specific D2C code, but we have brands as well who, you know, will target some of those post-purchase discounts or returning directly to their retail partners. So that becomes an opportunity as well. And so you also need to think about it in different buckets. What the opportunity you have in your post-purchase, you know, typically that product, unless maybe you're building specific product for Costco or some partner, you know, that product is going to go to multiple different retailers. So how do you make that a consumer journey that works with multiple different partners? And that's why, you know, warranty and education, you know, that works for everyone. The second piece is if you're going to be doing something pre-purchase, you know, such as, you know, pre-purchase in store, that you can make retailer specific. And so you can offer a retailer specific discount code, and or, you know, retailer specific journey. But the opportunity in your, you know, on product or post-purchase needs to work for all of your retail partners.
I can say that we've been able to target customers who've purchased our product through different retailers and let them know if there's a price drop, if there's a promo going on, if there's a circle offer or whatever, or if there's even just a line extension that's launching. So we are very aware that our consumers shop in different channels, and we use the data from Bridge to educate the consumers on, you know, based on where they originated.
Another thing that Gina and I were talking about before we got up here is the opportunity to learn from the e-commerce journey from your customer and bring that back to your retailer. So, you know, we were talking about how Meredith, which is, you know, one of Gina's colleagues, was, you know, pitching this new toothbrush to one of their retail partners as an opportunity to bring a new customer to that retail channel. Some of the data that you have from Bridge, so you now know, you know, what that customer purchased, and then could also provide, you know, cross-sell opportunities. So we have another customer, Gosney, which is an outdoor pizza oven brand and kind of like an EV competitor. So they sell in Home Depot, but only the pizza oven is in Home Depot. And so they provide post-purchase cross-sell to, you know, like a pizza, like a platter thing. There's all these different pizza accessories that Home Depot does not yet cover. And so they have that in their Bridge experience as, you know, a post-purchase shopping, you're driving all this incremental revenue. They're bringing that data back to Home Depot and they're saying, look, you don't have these items in Home Depot, so our customer can't shop it there. But here's the data to show you, you know, how they're shopping it, you know, when they buy the pizza oven. So that has become, you know, an opportunity for them, you know, to educate their retail partners on how their consumer is shopping, but then also get incremental shelf space.
Hi there. I love what you were talking about when you were talking about the unboxing experience. I'm curious if you could tell us more about how that might vary or be similar across channels and if that's something you revisit regularly.
They're pretty similar across channels. So wherever you purchase the Quip, you should have this. It's nestled right in a very custom sleeve. The reward card might change based on where you've purchased it. But other than that, the boxing should be quite similar. And I think that's one of the benchmarks of the brand that we, even as costs increase or other factors in shipping, we're not looking to ever change that. It's really part of the brand DNA.
And so Gina was telling me that your Quip was very much, and their unboxing experience was inspired by Apple's unboxing experience, yeah. Which, like, if you buy a Quip toothbrush, you will see it is really beautiful and best in class. You know, I talked about this card that you pull out, the physical piece of, okay, we lead the consumer to this journey. And so they see that offer. You know, I've seen, there are so many versions of like not best in class here. I'll talk through a couple of them. One is a QR code happy. You have a QR, you have like 7 different QR codes, 1 to watch a video, 1 to register your warranty, 1 to, you know, follow them on Instagram. What's happening is you're splitting your conversion into the number of QR codes that you have. So you have like basically this much time to collect that consumer's attention in that post-purchase, guide them through this hero journey that you want. And then that's, you know, part of Value Bridge. You can include everything in, you know, that one consumer journey. The other piece that, you know, we know that brands are limited by is the fact that that physical product is often going to all of their different channels, including internationally. So one of the functionalities that we have from the Bridge perspective is it's called international routing and language translation. And so, you know, if you are a global brand, you know, the language that you need to show up in to the consumer and, you know, often the experience that you want to give them is going to be different depending on the country that you're in. So using Gazini as an example, we're live with them in 7 different countries. We're about to launch 5 more. It's the same physical, like they have an insert post-purchase with the QR code. It's the same QR code across all 7 of the markets that we're live in. But the consumer experience is different depending on the country that that consumer is in. So we're doing a reverse IP lookup to, you know, figure out the location of the consumer. We can translate it into the local language preference or, you know, whatever you have your phone set to. And then you can collect different data. So, for example, in the US, we, you know, you might be collecting email and SMS. In the UK, because of GDPR and, you know, stricter data compliance issues, you maybe you're just collecting email. And then, you know, for maybe in Asia, you haven't figured out your data compliance policies yet, so you're not collecting any data. And so you can set all of that up in a way that you're really tailoring that consumer experience, depending on where they are, but in a way that that physical product can be the same unboxing experience across.
Are there any more questions? I want to hear something.
Take priority.
Well, thank you both. Gina, I would love to hear more about the B2B aspect of the business. I think that's really interesting of like completely different channel and how you've connected through a dentist office to, you know, your average end consumer there.
Yeah, we have a boots on the ground sales team that fosters relationships with dentists through American Dental Association and other associations. And we do a lot of trade shows and we talk to a lot of dentists and a lot of hygienists specifically too. Really trying to talk with people that are up close and personal with America's teeth. So we do offer them, you know, a chance to purchase our product to either resell or to offer discounts to their client base to use. It's very important to us that dentists feel good about using Quip and feel good about recommending it. And I can happily say that the Ultra and the oscillating brush that we've just, you know, announced over the past year have been really big hits in that community. So we're on the ground. We're picking up the phone. We're going into offices and we're going to trade shows to foster that relationship.
So something I was just thinking about as you were mentioning B2B, one best practice that we didn't cover in today's presentation, but I think that we should discuss, is how your team and organization is set up to support and promote omnichannel. And I think Quip is a representation of this, but I'd love, Gina, for you to speak to how you and the team are set up so that it really supports kind of omnichannel KPIs as opposed to siloed channels.
Yeah, we all sit under one leadership umbrella that owns revenue, in a sense. So our teams hone in on our specific channels, the needs of our channels, and the KPIs. But there is one umbrella over us that is looking at this as playing fair among the channels. It's very important to us that every single channel has a very specific value prop and has a very specific call to action. So for direct to consumer, my channel, I'm looking to foster that long-term relationship with providing brush heads, providing toothpaste refills, and giving education. Target and Walmart are focused on the needs of those channels, but all of us together have a very specific our assortment and our pricing and our promotional model really speak to ensuring that each channel always has a reason to foster a sale.
Yeah, and I think that, Gina mentioned, she rolls up to Meredith, who is CRO, so revenue.
Yeah.
It's a chief revenue officer in omnichannel is something like it is in her title. And what I've seen, in the behavior of Quip is that they do really think about all these channels working together. And I think I cannot emphasize how important that is because, as someone who talks about this and talks to brands every single day, something that I see not done well is that these channels operate in silos. So it's like, I'm the Walmart person, I'm in charge of increasing revenue at Walmart, and that's all I care about. Or I'm the D2C person, and I'm, focused on driving more D2C revenue, and that's all I care about. I literally even had people on calls be like, oh, well, I don't really care about that data, that's not part of my KPIs. But that is the reality if you're not, or the type of incentives you can set up your organization if you're not correctly layering everything up to what's the broader goal and mission here for the brand, for channels. And one way that I like to think about omnichannel, because I think that omnichannel is a buzzword. That's we can say that is definitely a thing. So how do you think about it in a way that brings all your channels in a synonymous way? And my personal definition that I like to think about is from the consumer lens. How do you meet your consumer wherever they want to shop? That, to me, is omnichannel. It doesn't mean that it needs to be in person. You need to have owned retail. It's just, how do you meet your customer wherever they want to shop? And that's, Walmart.com has a huge presence here. We were just in Bentonville a couple of weeks ago. That's like a growing channel that is very much harmonious to the in-store Walmart presence that is very similar to kind of the ecosystem that Amazon has created, which is a very powerful channel for most brands. So we just wanted to make that point around harmonization and how you structure your team to set up an omnichannel business.
Any more? Oh, here we go.
You mentioned earlier about post-purchase journey when following up with email through your different retailers. How do you go about getting their email? And are you sending it through that specific channel with the distribution, or is it through your own?
It's through our quip.com platform. So through the bridge journey, we do ask customers to provide their email. It's not mandatory, but by providing their email, we can help register their products. So if they have a problem, something breaks or whatnot, we can replace it. And that's how they can redeem their coupon through when we communicate with our consumer through email, we're cognizant of the type of content that we're receiving. And like I had said earlier, we definitely use the channel to push sales through all of our channels, not just our D2C.
So just to kind of reiterate, so Quip has this card here, and then there is a QR code with a call to action to scan for a free refill. And so what we did was take those codes, and then it goes to this bridge experience, which asks the customer to activate their warranty to get their $15 off their refill. And so why that small adjustment ended up having a tremendous impact is, one, we're collecting the email immediately, which someone activating their warranty to get a discount is something that makes sense in that post-purchase journey. And so now that email is, you know, fired, triggered to Klaviyo, and then the consumer gets access to their discount code, which is now going to be both in their email as well as, you know, immediately in that post-purchase journey. So this sets them up to, you know, better actually activate on that discount code because it's in your email now versus just on this little card, which, like, if you don't catch them in that second of, like, post-purchase and also actually complete the checkout, you probably lost that card.
Yeah.
And so collecting the email in the immediate post-purchase journey, that basically gives you the flexibility and optionality to be communicating with that customer directly. And so, you know, as Gina said, that would be through, they use Klaviyo, but we can, we have different custom tags that you can segment your Klaviyo based off of retailer product, so that you can have that same, you know, personalization at scale.
I want to point out something in the journey that was really smart. You can see this kind of propped up on the cell phone because that's where we're going to scan the QR code. That discount code, you can just literally with your thumb copy and paste, and that allows the consumer also to just pop it right in checkout, which I think that has been really helpful for conversions on the fly because it's right there in their fingertips. But if they don't, they can find it in their email later on and continue with their purchase when they feel like it.
Any other questions? Okay, I've been saving mine. I have a quick one.
Okay.
We hear a lot about personalization, and I'm absolutely in agreement with you. If you don't grab them at that moment, they're lost. So you have that moment, you have that communication immediately. How do you build a relationship from there? How does the communication have to evolve to make sure that the person, next time they're going to purchase a toothbrush, is going to purchase one from Quip?
Let me take this one, Gina.
Sure. We use personalization in a variety of ways. It could be the best times personalization is used is when it's seamless to you and you don't even realize that you've been personalized. Through our email program, Klaviyo, I can put your first name in. I can say, hey, Kate, thanks for stopping by. I can target somebody based on whether they've visited our website, and also time-based journeys. I know that if somebody purchased a toothbrush today, they're probably not ready for their refill just yet. They have a fresh one in their box, but 3 months from now, they should really be thinking about, we all should be thinking about changing our toothbrushes. So there's multiple ways that we can use personalization to, you know, hit consumers with a targeted message and at the right time. And then even further into the journey, what we're looking to do is target a lot of these, what you see on the screen, tailored to the brush that they bought. So that will be another way that we can personalize. If you bought the new Quip Ultra in color green, well, I can serve an image of that. All right, I can serve the accessories that ride along with that item.
And so just to build on what Gina just mentioned, part of our vision at Bridge is to bridge the offline and online, but for hyper-personalization at scale. So every time you interact with a brand, in whatever channel that is, offline or online, you're getting a personalized touch point. And the first step there is to be able to have that direct communication with the customer. Now, Gina talks about the personalization triggers, whether it's name or timing. That's something that historically, without having the customer's email if they purchased on Amazon or in retail, she would not be able to do it at all. So, that the unlock here is that you can talk to your customers from retail or from Amazon the same way that you would when they purchased on your D2C site. And I think that if we're really in this age now, it's like post-COVID, brands know the power of data. Retail is an absolute necessity to scale your brand profitably. But in order to maximize the value of your retail customer, owning that customer data will allow you to get them to shop more from your retail partners or wherever that consumer wants to shop. And so that's really what we see as unlock and personalization capability. We are just about at time. Wanted to just thank Gina for her incredible insights and thank you for your questions. We really appreciate your time.
Let's say thanks to the speakers.